Well, today is Mother's Day. It's a scene from a movie. I won't say which movie. But, you know, there's these three sisters that are talking, and one of them says something about their mother, and they all stop and they go, "Mother." And I just have that, like, in my head, "Mother." You know, and I was, somebody was saying the reason that Mother's Day started was there was a young lady whose mother had passed away, and she wanted a way to honor her. And that was how Mother's Day began. Isn't that sweet? I like that. My mother's in heaven. She's in my future. We all have people that are in heaven and in our future. I mean, what better place to keep them? I can say I have two sons in heaven. I never actually really met. I have two sons in heaven, and they're in my future, and they're potty trained, and they sleep through the night. Every mother and every father said, "Hey, amen. Amen." I mean, well, I'm so grateful for the ones that we have here and the joy that they bring. I am looking forward. Faith had a dream once where she met her two brothers. They came to her and visited her in a dream with my mom, who'd passed on and was in heaven, and with her dog, Tinkerbell. And they came and visited her in the backyard in a dream. And she described exactly what they looked like. They weren't, you know, one had brown eyes and one had green eyes, one had lighter skin like her, and one had darker complected, because Kathy's half Mexican. So, you know, there was always a possibility that our kids were going to come out, you know, this tall and dark. well, I say that, her mother's this tall and dark. You know, and, you know, Koltichi wouldn't mind that I said that. She'd laugh and she'd still be laughing. Praise the Lord. But we're honoring mothers today, and I actually have a message about mothers. And so if you will turn with me, by the way, we're having a fabulous time on Thursday nights. The Spirit of God moves on Thursday nights. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful, just really wonderful. I encourage you to come out. And, you know, not everybody who comes speaks in tongues. You don't have to speak in tongues to be in the presence of God. Because every single one of us, once we're born again, we have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us. He has sealed us. He keeps us. He comforts us. He loves us, and he teaches us. Praise the Lord. So, Heavenly Father, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now that you give to me the tongue of the pen of the ready writer. I thank you, Father, that I speak forth your words and not my words, your heart and not my heart. And we just open our hearts up to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Mothers, that's the title of it. You know, it's not really dramatic. It's just titled Mothers. And you know, my mother is in heaven. And my mother was a wonderful mother. She was a pain in the tuchus, too. I ask anybody who knew her. She was a prankster. She was a jokester. She put mustard on my dad's chicken salad sandwich one time, and right? And then one time, as a big surprise, she put a piece of gum in his chicken salad sandwich. But that was my mom. But my mom was also dogged about faith. Her too, but faith. She had two sons, and one of them is schizophrenic, would rather live on the streets. And, you know, she would pray for him. But she had another son, me, and she had great faith for me. Growing up, my mom and I were best friends. She'd pick me up from preschool, and she would take me, and we'd go through the drive-through dairy. Anybody ever been through the drive-through dairy? You could go through the drive-through dairy, and I would stand in the front seat next to her. That used to be legal. Yeah. And here I am anyway. And, you know, mom's arm was my seatbelt. Yeah. 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 You've been there, right? Mom's arm was my seatbelt. And we're thankful to God that nothing bad happened during those times. But she'd take me to the drive-through dairy after preschool or when she'd go bowling and leave me in daycare because she loved to bowl. And we'd go through and I'd get a popsicle and I'd stand on the front seat and eat my popsicle on the way home. I mean, you just have fond memories of Mom. But she was a mom of faith. She had two sons, and one she prayed for, but the other, man, I'm telling you, she contended for me. Isaiah 49:25 was a scripture that she got. I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. And she prayed that, and she believed that, and she and my dad both. And I came for a visit one time, and I didn't know what they'd done. Mom had taken my pillow that I was going to use, and they'd had a bunch of ladies pray over it. Kathy may have been there, I don't know. Kathy was saved and serving the Lord and was in the prayer group that was praying for my salvation. So, ladies. I mean, single ladies. Okay? God's not going to take you from your husband and give you someone else. And they had prayed over that pillow. And from that moment on, something changed. And it broke. And God began to speak to me again. And I came back home. And I went to Teen Challenge. And I met this lovely lady. But my mom was a mom of faith. She believed. She contended. Let's talk about Sarah, another woman, another mother of faith. We'll call Sarah the believing mother. Sarah was unable to conceive. She was barren. That, you know, this is before IVF. She was unable to conceive. She was 90.
Yeah,
she was. She was past the age of childbearing. So let's take a look at her story a little bit. Genesis chapter 17. See, I could put all these little stickies in my Bible and be where we're going before you guys get there. But then I'm just sitting there. Genesis 17, verses 15 and 16. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her." Here she was barren, but God said something different about her. Not only did he make a promise to her, but she changed her name. You know, the name Sarai means lady or princess. I call my daughter Princess. She's a princess. Sarai, was called Princess. But God said, no longer call her Princess. He said, now call her Mother of Nations and Kings. He began to say something different about her. She changed her name from Princess to Mother. So every time they talked, he'd say, Mother. And here she was barren, but they were calling her Mother. They were calling those things that be not as though they were. My parents were calling me saved, and I was not. They were calling her Mother. They began to change what was happening in here because she'd been so many years barren. They had to change the way of thinking. They had to change the way that they talked about each other. They had to change their communication. No longer could they talk about how barren she'd been for how long. They had to change that. They couldn't talk about how bad the circumstances had been or how bad the situation had been. Genesis 18, verses 9 through 14. That's just the next page. Then they said to him, they've got these angelic visitors. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah?" See, even the angels knew better than to call her Sarai. They called her Sarah. "Where is Sarah, your wife?" So he said, "Here, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, mother of nations, your wife shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the door of the tent, in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. They were old. Get that? They were old. They were well advanced in age. And Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Well, we don't need to get into that. You know what that means. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord also being old. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I bear a child, since I am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah laughed. You know, how many times do you think, you know, that they've been sitting around talking about that, and, you know, now here comes these angelic visitors, and they say, well, you're going to have a son. You know, and the time that it takes from now till then, you're going to have, when we come back in a year, you're going to have a son. And I like this picture, you know, because we live here in the woods, and you have houses with decks, and so you can imagine, oh, they have a wonderful porch, by the way. So we'll imagine at their porch, they have this beautiful kind of like southern home with a wraparound porch. And so I like that. So we'll imagine ourselves sitting out there, and we're sitting in two chairs, sitting out on David and Faye's porch, and they're talking about it. Well, he said we were going to have a son. Yeah, well, that's kind of silly. I mean, we're pretty old. Yeah, but, you know, when he told us to leave out of Ur of Chaldees, and he was going to make us great, he did that. Surely there's nothing too difficult for him. And they must have recounted other times when God had been faithful to things that he'd said. And so they did this amazing thing. They reasoned together. Because you can just imagine it happening. And they said, well, if the Lord said it's going to happen, what is too difficult for him? Let's look at chapter 21 of Genesis. We're going to skip through because I want to talk about a couple different mothers. So we're skimming this. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8 of chapter 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. So just like he said he was going to do, he came back. As he had spoken. For Sarah, mother of nations, conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. So just like he said was going to happen, just when he said was going to happen, it had happened. So God is faithful. Sarah had believed God. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born, to whom Sarah had bore him, Isaac. Do you know what the name Isaac means? It means laughter. They had received a promise laughing about it. Oh, come on, we're old. How can that happen? Well, what's too difficult for God? So when she had a son, she named him Isaac. They named him Isaac, which means laughter. Then Abraham circumcised his son. Let's skip up. Verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. See, she's remembering. He made me laugh there, and now I'm laughing again. Because what he said was going to happen happened. And now I'm full of joy. I have laughter. So I'm naming my son Isaac, which means laughter. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. Well, that's a day of celebrating right there, you know. But God had promised. At first she's not believing. She says, you know, we've been through so much. We're so old. Do you know that actually Abraham tried to convince God to let Ishmael, born of their servant Hagar, to let Ishmael, his son, born of the flesh, to be the son of promise. And God said, no, that's not what I told you. I told you, you and Sarah are going to have a son. You and Sarah are going to have a son. They believed. Sarah is the mother of faith. Abraham is the father of faith. Sarah is the mother of faith. She's the mother of us all who are in faith. She is to anyone an example. Whatever your natural mother was like, whether she was wonderful and nurturing, or maybe she was distant and not available, Sarah was a loving, nurturing mother, a mother who had faith, a mother who believed. Let's look at Ruth. I like Ruth. There is so much in the story of Ruth. Ruth, chapter 1, verse 5. And this is the story of Ruth, and she's married to one of the sons of Naomi. And Naomi and her husband and their family are leaving their land. There's a famine, and they've left their land, and they've gone someplace else. Verse 5 says, then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. You know, these two guys here, M and C, died. So the woman survived her two sons and her husband. So she's a widow, her two sons are dead, and she's got these two daughters-in-law. And verse 7 says, therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went out on their way to return to the land of Judah. Verse 14, then they lifted up their voice and wept again. Naomi is telling them, you girls are young, go out, find new husbands. Then they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, because Orpah said, okay, I'll do whatever you said. She's young, she's going to go out, and she's going to find another husband. Okay? But Ruth clung to her. Ruth was faithful to her mother. This was her mother now. She had married into Ruth's family. Her son was Ruth, her husband was Ruth's son, or Naomi's son. They were family. And Ruth said, I'm not going anywhere. And as she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me. Please stop. Urge me not to do this. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back after from following you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. Come on, that's faithful. Ruth was faithful. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more, if anything but death parts you and me. I mean, that's faithful. When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. In other words, she's not gonna try to get her to go someplace else. She understands Ruth has got this in her head. She's got it in her heart. You're my mother. Naomi was her mother, and she was her family, and her God was her God. And wherever she went, she was going with her too. She was faithful. And God rewarded that faithfulness. Let's look at Ruth chapter 4. Naomi had a relative who was a wealthy man who had great fields, and Naomi had this plan, and she says, you need a kinsman redeemer, someone who's going to help you, because you need a husband, and this is a relative of mine. So if you go out and you glean out in the fields, you talk to him, and she was given a certain area where that she could go and she could glean from the leftovers of the crops in the field, and so she would do that. Anyway, Boaz, verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. This was Boaz. This was a relative of Naomi's, and Naomi has become the matchmaker. Ruth has been faithful, and so Naomi is helping her, right? So verses 13 through 17, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative, a redeemer. He redeemed her. This was redemption for her. She was redeemed from being alone and from being bitter. So you've got to read the whole story. All right. A close relative, and may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law who loves you. When you're faithful, when you love someone, you stick with them. Who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom, and she became a nurse to him. Also, the neighbor women gave him a name, saying, the son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. King David, great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother, was Ruth. She was not a Jewish person, but she was faithful. And because she was faithful, God put her in the lineage of David. David is in the lineage of Jesus. Come on. Faithfulness. Sarah was full of faith and believed God, even though it was in her old age, and she didn't understand how it could happen. Ruth was faithful. She stuck by Naomi and clung to her. And because of that, God gave them a redeemer in Boaz. And through that, we get the line of David. Come on. Mothers, you don't know what it is that you're doing and who it is that you're nurturing and who it is that you're caring for and who it is that they'll become. Ruth didn't know. Naomi didn't know. If they'd gone the way that Naomi said, we wouldn't have Ruth. We wouldn't have Obed and Jesse. Faithfulness sees through, and you can become part of something great. Amen. Thankful for faithful mothers. Let's look at Hannah. Hannah. I love Hannah. Hannah, give some prelude on this. Hannah was one of a couple wives, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. We'll go Elkanah. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. We're in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. You just turn the page. You're there. 1 Samuel. Giving a little prelude on it. She was ridiculed by one of the other wives of Elkanah. Her name was Peninnah. And she's making fun of Hannah. Her husband's other wife, because she had no children. Hannah had no children. I mean, panini, that's a sandwich, right? Hannah became deeply depressed. I mean, she's already barren, and now the wife of Elkanah, her husband, who produces all of these other children for him, and as a result, he actually favors Hannah. He gives her more of everything. He lavishes more on her. He's the husband who, when you break your ankle and you can't go anywhere, is home cooking and cleaning and taking care of you and running all your errands. Right, Jim? He's the good husband who's there. I mean, she's got a good husband. She's barren, but she's depressed. She's depressed. So she went to the tabernacle of the Lord. So let's look at that. First Samuel 1 and verse 9. So Hannah arose after they had finished eating dinner and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorstep of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. This is a woman who is loved by her husband, but the one thing she wants is to give him a son. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Come on, we're going to get a religious person here. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. She is at the tabernacle praying and pouring her heart out before God, and the high priest thinks she's drunk. Don't let anybody ridicule you, Mom. You pray for those children. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." Come on. He's just right there in it on her. But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Complaint and grief. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no more long and sad. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived. She brought forth a son. She brought forth Samuel. And she took him. And she presented him to the temple, to the high priest. She stayed on until he was weaned. I mean, you're desperate for a child. She is a praying mother. She prayed until she saw results. She prayed until there's a saying, push. Pray until something happens. She prayed until something happened. She prayed to the Lord. And she prayed to the point where people thought she was drunk. Well, that happened on the day of Pentecost, didn't it? They all thought that they were drunk. Come on. The high priest thought she was drunk. And she prayed, and God gave her a son, and she named him Samuel. And do you know who Samuel is? Samuel's one of the greatest prophets in all the land of Israel. And who does he anoint king? David. Come on. Mothers who pray see things happen. She says, until now, you know, I've prayed, I've spoken out of my grief and bitterness. She was grieved and bitter. But God gave her a son. She prayed, and the priest said, "Go your way," you know, and blessed her that she would have a son. And she did. And she conceived, and she gave forth Samuel. And not only that, but in verse 21, it says, the Lord visited Hannah so that she also conceived three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So she gave to him her first. And he became one of the greatest prophets in all the land of Israel. Oversaw, as the prophet in the land of Israel, the restoration and the coming together of the entire nation of Israel. He anointed Saul the first king. And then he anointed David the greatest king. David, under whom the entire nation, northern and southern kingdoms, were joined together. This was Samuel. Come on. Mothers who pray see results. You don't give up. You just keep praying. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at one more. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at one of the greatest mothers, a young girl who was found pure before God, was visited by an angel. Let's look at Luke chapter 1. Is this beneficial to you today? Yes. I mean, mothers, come on. Nobody's going to pray for you like your mama. Nobody's going to pray for you like your mama. See, Sarah bursts forth the nation of Israel through Isaac. Ruth births forth the king through the kinsman redeemer. Mary is birthing forth the ultimate redemption. When the angel had visited her, she was obedient. Let's look. Luke chapter 1, verses 31 through 38. We'll start in verse 30, sorry. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." So when an angel comes and visits you, don't worry. Don't be afraid. It's probably because you found favor before God. Okay? So we, you know, praise the Lord for angelic visitations. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father," who? David. Come on. Jesus is in the line of David, in the line of Ruth, of the house of Israel, born from Isaac. Come on. Oh, mothers. This is Mary is the obedient mother. She gets this word. Let's read this. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered her and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.' Then indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age." There's something about being in your old age that gets you somebody fantastic, doesn't it? And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. There's something about that. We like to call things barren, and God likes to call them fruitful. We should learn from that. "For with God," verse 37, "for with God, nothing will be impossible." That's what the angel said. With God, nothing will be impossible. So let's pause. Let's say law on that. Pause and think about that. Moms with your children, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. If you can believe, moms, nothing will be impossible to you. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.'" Mary was obedient. She had a word given to her that she was going to conceive and bear forth a king, the Son of God, the Redeemer. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 2. Jesus has been born. And you know, we talk about this at Christmas time. You've got the nativity. Here they are. They're in a little sukkah on the side of a hill where the shepherds are tending their sheep. And the angels appear in the heavens. And think about that. He wasn't born in the palace, surrounded by palace guard and by a large family of people welcoming him in. But Jesus is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus is the great shepherd. And he's born in the field with the sheep. And the angels come to proclaim his birth to the shepherds. Think about that one for a minute. What a lowly situation. But yet, angels have appeared in the heavens to proclaim his birth. So it was in verse 15, chapter 2 of Luke, "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see the thing that the Lord that has come to pass, which the Lord has spoken and made known unto us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled, and at those things which were told to them by the shepherds." This is the mother. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Her heart was the place where she kept this scene, this moment, forever captured in her heart. She's just given birth to the Messiah, the Son of God, in a stable with sheep and shepherds and an angelic host heralding his birth. And this is the image she has, and she holds it in her heart, and she contemplates that, and it's what she can go to. Angels declared that he was the Son of God. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This was a mother who was obedient. She had an angelic visitation, and the angel spoke to her and said, you're going to have a son. Name him Jesus. And she said, okay, as you've spoken, let it be. She's an obedient mother. I'm going to get a little self-indulgent here. Kathy, to me, is the embodiment of the biblical mother. She's the believing mother. When Faith was born, it was her determined faith and belief in God when they said that she might not make it through the night after having cesarean and 4 staples in her stomach, pushed herself up on her bed and said, I'm not going to lose this child. She will live and not die. She was believing. She believed God for that child right there, right from the very beginning. She is the faithful mother. When things had been dim and didn't look good and doctors said you should never try getting pregnant again, she believed God. And when God said, you're going to have a son, name him Josiah, we didn't doubt. And now we have Josiah, who loves to run around and in ties and cowboy boots. She saw that through every day. She had to give herself twice a day injections of heparin in her stomach. She believed God. She was faithful. She's the praying mother. Every night when she prays these same things over her children. She prays for them out of Psalm 91. I mean directly. And she prays for their protection, that they'll never be lost, stolen, or separated from their mommy and daddy, that no evil shall come upon them, that they'll never suffer any violence or abuse of any kind against them. And now, every night, she lays her hand on Faith's left eye, right eye, and declares life in it. She's the praying mother. She's the embodiment of who I think that these great mothers in the Bible are. And every single mother that's here today, you've been through those things. You've prayed those things. Some of you are still praying those things, right? And you're still believing for your children, still contending for them. Even when they're little, we have to contend for them when they're little to raise them up in the way that they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. Listen, when I got older, I departed from it, but I came back because my mother prayed, my father prayed. Parents, godly parents, whether they're doing it on their own or they're doing it with a husband. The godly parent is the most important parent that you could have. Kathy is the obedient mother. She sees the promises of God and acts on them for her family, knowing, always knowing that God is able. Amen. I will also say this about her if you put up the last slide. If you complain about her winning a game, this is what she does. Aww. Because she's also the competitive mother. Anyway, I had to leave on a laughing note because, you know, I knew going in, mothers are so valuable and so important. And I dearly love every mother that's here today.